This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Covering a lot of different topics of interest around the Umpqua Valley into the holiday season, we've been talking to some of the nonprofit organizations that help out not only during the holiday season, but throughout the year. Jeremy Graman, co-executive director of the Roseburg Dream Center, back in. Thanks for coming in.
Awesome to be here.
So let's back up for people that aren't as familiar. How long has the Roseburg Dream Center been around, and what led to it beginning?
So it was established back in around 2007. It officially became a nonprofit, I think, around 2014, but it was functioning within the community during those early years.
And how did it get started?
So if anyone's familiar with the Dream Center model, it was started back in the 90s by a young pastor by the name of Matthew Barnett. You can read a book that he wrote called The Cause Within You. It tells his whole story. But he was a young pastor given a church in downtown L.A., and soon found that the ones that God was actually calling him to serve were those that were battling addictions, homelessness, mental health issues, and those kind of things.
And so that started down there. How did that get up here?
He began traveling in the late 90s and early 2000s, began traveling all over the nation, visiting different churches and organizations of faith, and really calling them into a space of taking responsibility for their communities and really loving on the people of their communities and being, you know, practical aspects of the life of Jesus in the body of Christ and in their community.
And I understand some folks locally went down there to kind of check out what he was doing.
Yeah, when he came up and visited in 2007, there was a team of 12 that went down and did a two-week short-term mission. And then Sylvia came back and planted the Dream Center, and I believe it was towards the south end of town at that time.
And then how did it evolve after that?
So really it was community outreach, just helping little projects around town. Sylvia then began really focusing on clothing and meeting that particular need, getting clothing donations. She had a pretty large outreach to single mothers or young mothers that needed support, both with clothing or household needs and things like that.
And then along the way, you've been at a couple other locations. But then you moved out onto Diamond Lake Boulevard. What led to that?
Yeah, so we were the church in downtown called Foundation Fellowship. Dream Center was down there for a few years, and they were actually functioning as a soup kitchen during those years and also a clothing bank. And when the church shifted some focus, they actually became a school for young people. And so the Dream Center had to move out of that building. They moved into the building on Diamond Lake Boulevard about 5 years ago.
And that gave you it wasn't you at that point, but it gave folks a whole lot more space.
Yeah, it was quite a bit bigger. We're probably in about a 7,000 square foot building right now, and it was quite a bit bigger than what they had available at the church, although it did limit a little bit or shift the focus of what the Dream Center was doing. They could no longer be a soup kitchen because there wasn't proper equipment or fire suppression within the building. So they promptly became a pantry, as UCAN was also expanding at the time, and we were getting ready on the cusp of entering into the COVID pandemic. The Dream Center became one of those vital outreaches in the community to provide food.
And talk about when you got involved.
So Holly and I have been the directors for the last 2 years. Tim and Sarah had been the directors for about 4 years, and they Tim was experiencing some health issues, needed to step down, and some of the board members who we knew approached Holly and I and asked us if we would be willing to come on board and help the Dream Center.
And so what's it been like for the last couple of years?
Wow, it's been an incredible journey so far. A lot of what we've been doing over the last 2 years has really been about restructuring and kind of building up the foundation of the Dream Center. We were really surprised to find that there was a large portion of our community that knew very little to nothing about the Dream Center or that we even existed. At the time that we came on, I think there was about 7 volunteers that were there pretty regularly giving of their time. And at the time, they were feeding anywhere from 300 to 500 households a month. The busy months were about 500 households.
And so now what do you find yourself doing?
Yeah, so in the restructuring, we've been obviously growing our volunteer base. We currently have probably about 40 active volunteers that work with us. Some of those are ones that are with us, you know, every day, anytime the doors are open. And then there's others that just volunteer as they can once a day through the week or things like that. And then we really focused on how we can better meet the needs of the community. And so we started to expand our hours and expand our services and make it more available because we recognized that there was a much broader demographic than just the unhoused and those that might be struggling. But there was even working families and some of our veterans and elderly that were really needing support in the area of food and clothing.
And it seems like when you guys took over, we were kind of on the downside, the exit portion of the pandemic, which really shifted a lot of those needs.
Yeah, it actually created more need because, you know, some of us felt and understood the relief that we were getting, you know, just through that period of time that we were all going through. And when those services or that relief went away, it caused a great increase for need in our community. And so thankfully, the Dream Center and those that are partnering with us have been able to answer that need.
Now, any other staff besides you and your wife?
No, Holly and I are the only ones on staff. Everyone else is a volunteer, and we have an incredible volunteer team. We're always looking for volunteers because a lot of our volunteers are coming in and they're in a transitional time, might be between jobs or they're going through something in life and they want to give back. And so we're always looking for those volunteers. We want to make it easy for people to volunteer at the Dream Center. But the best way for that is to actually come down and visit us. Come see us out at 2555 Diamond Lake Boulevard, and we'll give you an application. We'll sit you down, talk about what it would look like for you to volunteer with us.
And you are both doing this on top of another day job, too.
Yeah, yeah, we've been in full-time ministry here in the community for the last 26 years, and we actually pastor another church. But it really fits in with our organization. Everything that we do in ministry is relational in nature, is restorative in nature. We wanna see people's lives changed and impacted by love and by acts of kindness.
So going through the past several months with all the inflationary issues and economic issues and things like that, how have you seen things shift?
So the biggest has been the number of people that we're serving. Over the last couple months, our numbers have jumped again, and we're averaging about 1,500 households a month that we are feeding and clothing and meeting immediate needs. Some of our percentages have changed where it used to be about 60% of our clientele were the unhoused. Now only about 40% are unhoused, but we're doing a lot more with those that are either on fixed incomes or just struggling in the community. The other thing that's happened is there's been a huge need to expand some of our services, expand recognizing the nature of the need that's there and the resources that need to be available to help bring a person either out of homelessness or joblessness or addiction and get them back on their feet again.
All right, a lot going on. We're going to talk more about it when we come back. Jeremy Grammon, co-executive director of the Roseburg Dream Center. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming up at 1, David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio at 4 o'clock. And tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program, meet a couple of the staff of the Ford Family Foundation. They've recently moved into new roles in the organization. They've both been there for quite a while, but find out more about some of the shifts and things happening with the Ford Family Foundation on tomorrow's program. Jeremy Graman, co-executive director of the Roseburg Dream Center out on Diamond Lake Boulevard in Roseburg. And as we've talked about the needs shifting this year, how does that tie in with funding and money coming in from various sources? How's that going?
Yeah, so really there's twofold applications of our funding. And the first is what it just takes to keep the doors open. So our yearly budget for just to keep the Dream Center alive and kicking is about $150,000 a year. And almost all of that has to be raised and supported by the community, those within the community. There are some foundations out there that try and do what they can to help out. And then the other aspect of it is like grants that we can get through partner organizations and things. Many of people might have heard about the grant that was awarded to us this year from UHA. That's going to be over the next couple years. What that has done is it has opened up the door to expand all of our services, give us more supply. So it as far as getting things and services to people, we can get those through the grants and that sort of thing. But as far as keeping the doors open and the lights on, that's a different beast.
So for this grant, is it a particular types of services?
Yeah. So really all of the agencies that kind of fit within our demographic are meeting three major issues that we're seeing in society. One of them is housing insecurity, food insecurity, and clothing insecurity. And they've really understood and nailed down that these three places of worry and anxiety and fear in people keep them in cycles of defeat, keep them in cycles of homelessness, addiction, and criminality.
And what do you see now, like backing up to the, well, let's talk about this time of year. When it gets cold, it's wet. It's not as cold today, but it's still, in your typical December pattern. Are the needs a little different?
Yeah, we really start to recognize that people are really dealing with warmth. They're trying that. There's a real health issue when you got people that are wet all the time and cold and can't get out of the weather conditions. There's a lot of barriers to them actually receiving the services that they need. Housing being, a huge portion of that. So we've partnered with actually Ford Family Foundation over the last handful of years, where they help us provide tents, tarps, and sleeping bags for those that are unhoused. And we also get lots of donations of blankets from the community, which we can always use those blankets and pillows and bedding items and things like that to help. And then obviously our clothing expands quite a bit because people are needing more clothing or their clothing is getting ruined quicker. And so they need to get access to more clothing.
I think for people that aren't in that situation, sometimes being out in a big rainstorm for 5 or 10 minutes is enough for you to realize, gosh, this was miserable, but I've got a house, office, car, whatever to go into in a few minutes. And I've got the resources to, change clothes, take a shower, get dried off, whatever. Not everybody has that.
Yeah, no. And thankfully we have, different organizations like ADAPT and things that are going around and trying to provide some of those needs at the point of need. So Connecting Points is one of those organizations that meets throughout the week at different locations. We host it on Mondays. So there's showers available. There's other organizations available there to get people connected to services if there's an open door for them to, be ready for transition out of either addiction or mental health and get some care or maybe just help getting a job or an ID or a phone even, then those agencies are there to do that. And hopefully we can make a dent on those that are really suffering out there.
And I have been told that, just the lack of access to a shower sometimes, really kind of creates its own mental health issue over a period of time where you kind of head down this what feels like a hopeless road.
Very much so. And it's a really difficult, and many of us who, are not living, like you mentioned, in those situations, we don't understand the mindsets and how defeated a person can become. The levels of mental health just deteriorate to such a degree when you're exposed to those type of aspects for long periods of time.
All right, a lot to think about there. Now, do you have ideas for things you'd like to expand into doing?
Yeah, one of the things we were able to do with the UHA grant this year was purchase a food trailer so that we could start providing warm meals again for the community. And we hope to, in this 2025 year, be able to be providing at least a meal every week for the unhoused or those that are really struggling through the food trailer.
So this would be mobile then?
Yeah, it's a mobile food trailer. We'll probably try and use it on site at the Dream Center as much as possible, but we will also be taking it out into the community and interfacing. We've done a couple different interfacing with the community just to kind of test things out and kind of feel it out, and had some good success, and it helped create some exposure. The other area that we are looking at and praying about is still continuing to look for and move forward with trying to start a restorative village with tiny houses to help get some of these people that are ready to transition out of homelessness off the streets.
And I know you've talked with the city, different ideas have been floated around. Yep. Not everything is exactly hit meeting everybody's satisfaction yet, but it sounds like there's still a process going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. We're kind of really taking the bull by the horns a little bit on our own and feeling we met with the board, and our board has decided that that's something that really is on our heart, and we feel God leading us towards that.
So what about your work? You've mentioned a number of other organizations, but how do you feel like you're working with other nonprofits that are helping out some of the same folks?
So as a pantry, we do a lot of communicating between the different nonprofit organizations. UCAN does a good job of trying to keep us all linked and understanding, you know, the demographic of people that we're serving. And so we get to have meetings multiple times a year with the other pantries, and we have regular conversations with them. Other organizations, I know that we've had a relationship with Onward, which is a nonprofit that was there to just simply help people get out of an emergency transition. So emergency housing or emergency, like if a person has had a health issue and they're released out of mercy, but they have nowhere to go, they have no resources. Maybe their camp was, you know, destroyed or all their stuff stolen while they were in the hospital. Onward has been there to be able to help. But like any of the nonprofits, they've also been struggling with some funding. And so we're all working, trying to do our best to meet these needs and also recognizing the financial barriers that we have to get over.
Are you able to talk with folks doing similar work in other communities?
Yeah, actually, we traveled. Holly and I actually went and visited a village up in Eugene. It's called Everyone Village, and they're housing roughly about 70 homeless right now. They're having a huge amount of success of getting people out of homelessness and into the right kind of program for them or restorative services for them. And we had a wonderful 4 days. It was a lot of training, a lot of sharing of information and resources.
And where do you think that'll go next?
So I really think that opened up the door to help us have a greater understanding of what's going to work in our community for a restorative housing type program. I know that we have the Navigation Center, and they're doing their best. I know that simply just the numbers that are proven out there is that when you start to steward the homeless community, about 80% of those people are ready to get out of their situation. And then the success rate, once you get them into the process of restoration, whether it's a mental health issue or a physical issue or just a job issue or relational issues, that the success rate is pretty huge. The numbers really across the board are about 80% nationwide.
With some of the struggles going on now in the economy, do you run across folks that you're helping that may be working part, maybe full time, but yet are still unhoused?
Yeah, absolutely. The cost of housing is just really astronomical, and it's even you know, keeping, maintaining a job or the amount of turnover in jobs and things has made it really difficult. And there's many people I talk to that are holding down full-time jobs that are still needing some of the services from the pantries.
So how can people volunteer?
So volunteering is really, you know, about we like face-to-face and relational type connections. So come on down to the Dream Center. We'll, like I said, we'll sit you down. We'll give you an application, talk about what it would look like. You can volunteer short-term, long-term. You can do a one-time thing. We just hosted a great group from the Roseburg High School where they go out and they have a club that does benevolent service acts, and they came and sorted through a bunch of our donations of blankets and things and got them all organized for us.
Wow. And if people want to help out financially, how do they do that?
Yeah, so we are always looking for those people that are willing to partner with us. It really takes our whole community to help us keep the doors open. You can go right to our website and click on the Give button. It will take you directly to our PayPal portal where you can choose to either give a one-time gift or become a monthly partner. And we really are looking for those people that are willing to work with us. And if you would like to give a year-end amount, to help support us through the end of this year and in the wintertime, we would love to do that. And again, all of those are tax donation. Tax
deductible.
Deductible.
There
Thank
we
you.
Go. Jeremy Graham at Roseburg Dream Center, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1258 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.